This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Fantastic Monday. Remember, if you've missed any part of it, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, before I get to the emails and other stories. So you know I'm doing the chip fast thing, right? The 40-day chip fast. Chris, why are you shaking your head? Jewish producer Chris told me he's doing a fast thing too, a Jewish one. What is it, the Ezekiel fast? Is that what you said? The fast of Esther. How long do you have to fast for, Chris? Just till nightfall? Is it every day? So this is a one-day thing? That's so weak. Esther deserved better than you, Chris. Anyway, I'm doing the chip fast for 40 days. Now, setting that aside, you know, I'm a chip freak. And you also know, if you listen to this show, how kind I am to other people. But I'm not going to give someone a hard time just because it amuses me. I try to be nice to people. Yesterday, after church, me, the boys, and my mom were discussing where to go eat lunch. They say, let's go out to eat Mexican food. I'm always a yes on Mexican food. I didn't take into account what terrible people live in my house. You know what happens when you sit down at a Mexican restaurant. What do they bring you right away? The chips. They bring out the chips and the salsa. And I kid you not, all four other people, both sons, my wife, and my mother, who everyone thinks is nice, sat and not only jammed chips into their faces the entire time, they all four of them, every time they bit into one, these have to be the best chips ever. Oh my goodness, I love these chips. It's not funny, Chris. It's not funny. I would never do something like that to them. No, I wouldn't, Chris. I wouldn't. They thought it was funny. What? Chris said, don't I have a pizza coming to the studio? I do, but that's not a chip, is it, pal? It's not a chip. It's not at all. Oh, yeah, that's right. You're talking about you and your fast of Esther. Chris, it's not like I'm going to eat it right in front of you. And I'm certainly not going to tell you how delicious it is. I bet you're pretty hungry right about now, aren't you? Tummy's rumbling. Sounds like a personal problem, Chris. Jesse, Tuesday night in my red town in Kami, Colorado, they're having a Republican caucus. Because I figured I needed to do more anti-communism work, I signed up to go. What from your experience am I walking into Tuesday night? Looking it up online doesn't seem to paint the full picture. All right. So I wanted to talk about this because I know a lot of you, it's election season. Maybe you're one of these people, you're going to get involved. And maybe you're just starting to get involved. So let's rewind a little bit. When I decided I had gotten out of the Marine Corps, I was back to work in construction, and I decided I was going to run for office. I didn't know how to do that. I'd never been politically involved. So I started going to, quote, Republican headquarters. I went down to the county Republican headquarters, and then I started going to Republican meetings like this one. Hey, we're having a Republican caucus meeting. And this is on me. This is on me. This is not an insult to them. I was so disappointed, and here's why. I thought when I showed up to Republican headquarters, or I went down to the local Republican caucus meeting, I thought I was going to run into, I mean, my only frame of reference was movies and TV and things like that. I thought I was going to run into a bunch of sharply dressed political people, you know, almost like Wall Street, but for politics. Everyone's going to be sharp and talk fast. And they've got all their stuff together, and we've got this, 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 and this, and this. And what I found instead was a bunch of people like me and like you. Don't let the TV cameras fool you. Politics becomes a television product when you're not involved. And so it becomes what you see on the news, everyone in a suit and a tie, and it's white marble, and they're surrounded by a security, and it looks really, really fancy and highfalutin, doesn't it? But almost all politics outside of Washington, D.C., almost all of it is conducted by normal people just like you. If you are about to get involved, and I pray that you are, local elections matter more than national elections. 2026 is going to be an important election year for national elections and everything else. I hope you are going to get involved. If you are going to get involved, one, don't think you're walking into Wall Street for politics. You're going to show up at your local Republican meeting of whatever kind, and it's going to be little old ladies. It's going to be tubby dudes in khakis. It's going to be young people, old people, men, women. You're going to look around and see a bunch of normal people, and that's okay. And this is meant to encourage you. Don't sit in stress about whether or not you are ready to get involved. I'm not qualified. I never went to college. I don't know the Constitution front to back. I don't even understand what this political office does. What even is a constable? I don't know about... None of those people know either. None of them. You are just as qualified as anybody currently holding political office. You, who sent me the email, it applies to you wherever you are and everyone else listening to this. You're going to show up and should show up, and you're going to fit right in. Yeah, look, like I said, I was disappointed because here's what I had pictured, not just the fancy Wall Street with politics stuff. I wanted people to immediately take me in and guide me. Oh, come on in. Perfect. I'm glad you're here. You need to do this, this, and this, and then I'll lay you out for that, and then we'll get you prepared for this, and surely someone's gonna do all that, right? Nope, not at all. Now, there will be people there with wisdom. There will be people there, and it's not going to be all of them, who you can lean on for advice. And, hey, tell me a campaign I can work on. Tell me something I can do. Is there some way I can help? There will be people there for that. I'm certainly not dismissing everyone as an idiot. Don't think that's what I'm doing. I'm simply saying normal people just like you are what makes local politics go, and local politics is everything. Wherever we are going as a country, wherever we are going in the future, whether we have nothing but the high times, the golden age to come, as Trump says it, or whether we have all kinds of problems coming, if your local area gets better, your future will be better because of it, and the future of your children will be better because of it. I don't know where you live specifically. I know I live in Texas. Tomorrow in Texas is a crucial primary election. Governor, attorney general, we have a senator up. That's Cornyn, who I'm obviously going to vote against. All that is tomorrow. Do you live in a state that has a primary tomorrow? Maybe next week, next month? Who have you texted about it? Who have you told about it? Who have you told who to vote for? I'm dragging my normie friends to the polls. I'm sending out text messages. Make sure you vote. Make sure you vote for this guy. Sounds small? Your neighbor, who you watch college football with, he doesn't even know who's running. Of course, he voted for Trump last November, but primary election? Here? In Texas? Never heard of it before. Sending out that message is getting involved. You are ready to get involved in politics and become an activist. We can't just fall in love with watching politics because then we will lose. It is not a spectator sport. We have to get involved ourselves, and getting involved locally is so much more important than winning some national election. Yes, it's great that we have Trump instead of Dome. That's what we need. Get involved locally. All right? That's my plea. That's my final plea. Now, I will finally get to the emails, which I've been promising you. Look, I've been trying to get there. It's not my fault. A huge war kicked off. Now we'll finally get there and we'll talk about some things, shall we? Although that counts as getting to one, I think. I think it counts as getting to one, Chris. Anyway, Chris, do we have an update on the pizza when it's getting? What? I bet it's going to be cheesy and delicious. I'll let you know. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday. All right, I decided I'm going to play one more thing before I do the emails. All right, I'm going to play it because, well, people love to say they want honesty. I say it all the time too. Right? Just tell me the truth. I want honesty. But I don't know that I always want honesty. I know I say that I want honesty, but do I want that 100% of the time? When I make cheeseburgers for the family, my world-famous Jesse Kelly burgers, do I want Ob to say, it's very good, it's not In-N-Out burger? No, I'd actually rather she just say, that's the best burger I've ever had. There is an obvious thing looming over this Iran war. Let's just call it an Iran war. There's an obvious thing looming over it. It's something people argue about all the time now. Is this more for Israel than for America? It's looming over it. You see the arguments all over. Maybe you've had them yourself. Because Americans are still wrapping their minds around, wait, why are they a threat to us? When they very much are a threat to Israel. They're a threat to Israel's very existence. They've said they intend to wipe Israel off the map. So there's that thing looming over it. And the Trump administration knows you have to sell why this should be important to Americans. Trump obviously knew
it.
We
have the strongest and most powerful by far military in the world.
That was wrong on this one.
Our objectives are clear. First, we're destroying Iran's missile capabilities, and you see that happening on an hourly basis, and their capacity to produce brand new ones, and pretty good ones they make. Second, we're annihilating their Navy. We've knocked out already 10 ships. They're at the bottom of the sea.
Then it goes on, talks about America and their missiles, and Rubio said America and missiles, and all these guys are saying America and missiles. But Marco Rubio said something today. I would anticipate you will not hear a single person in the administration say this again. I've had many times in my life where I've said something and I wished I could grab those words and jam them back in my mouth, but I couldn't because they're out. Rubio said today, he was asked, why now? Is what he said.
The second question that's been asked is, why now? Well, there's two reasons why now. The first is it was abundantly clear that if Iran came under attack by anyone, the United States or Israel or anyone, they were going to respond and respond against the United States. The orders had been delegated down to the field commanders. It was automatic, and in fact, it bared to be true because, in fact, within an hour of the initial attack on the leadership compound, the missile forces in the south and in the north, for that matter, had already been activated to launch. In fact, those had already been pre-positioned. The third is the assessment that was made that if we stood and waited for that attack to come first before we hit them, we would suffer much higher casualties. And so the president made the very wise decision. We knew that there was going to be an Israeli action. We knew that that would precipitate an attack against American forces. And we knew that if we didn't preemptively go after them before they launched those attacks, we would suffer higher casualties and perhaps even higher those killed. And then we would.
We knew Israel was going to attack anyway, so we attacked first. Look, that's honesty from Marco Rubio. I'm not insulting him. I'm not at all insulting him. That's honesty, and I applaud him for that honesty. That's honesty. I don't anticipate you'll hear anybody in the Trump administration say that again. This is a time where people are unsure right now. That doesn't land all that well. Hey, Jesse, I've got to change some things in my life. I went to the local VFW for free vets dinner, and the vice commander welcomed me and said, let me guess, what branch of service you were in? He said, Air Force, and I quickly replied, no, I'm not gay. I then looked, I nervously looked around to see how many vets I insulted. The first thing I have to change is maybe I shouldn't be listening to all 3 hours of your show 365 days a year. Then, obviously, the second thing I was worried about as a staunch heterosexual was why he pegged me as Air Force. It's not like I have tiny hands or ordered ice cream at the bar. I'm seeking your advice, thinking this might have also happened to you on occasion. I hope you choke on that free fish at the VFW. That's what I hope. Hey, Oracle, would you please consider doing a history lesson of the Roman siege of Jerusalem, 70 AD? I think that would be fascinating. I probably should do one on that. We've done Romans versus Jews before, Romans versus Israelis, I should say. The Siege of Masada we did a long time ago. Siege of Masada is a crazy cool story. A crazy cool story. You should dig in. I did a history episode on it a long time ago. You can go dig that up if you want to hear me talk about it. But there's all kinds of incredible resources about it. You have these Israeli zealots holding a fortress, which you can go tour to this day. The Romans don't know how to get up there, so they build their own ramp, which still exists to this day. It's an amazing story of bravery. All right. We'll talk briefly about a judge. Some judge came out and he was criticizing Trump. He's going to get a judge killed. We'll talk briefly about this judge, and then we'll do some more emails. And these guys are trying to storm our embassies and more. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, wonderful Monday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So there's this great scene in a movie. I'm going somewhere with this. Just stay with me. There's this great scene in a great movie. The movie is called Carlito's Way. Not for the kids, by the way. Carlito's Way. It's about some gangster assassin type guy. But his lawyer, the gangster's lawyer, gets desperate. He's a cokehead, ends up killing somebody, ends up killing a mob boss. Goes from being a lawyer, well, he is a lawyer, and then he kills this mob boss. And then the lawyer goes to Carlito and essentially says, hey, protect me, help me. And Carlito says to him, man, you're a gangster now. That's what you are. So here's the thing about people in positions of power, certainly applies to communist revolutionaries. Communist revolutionaries in the United States of America, they're in a bit of a unique situation when it comes to the history of communist revolutionaries. You see, here's the situation of an American communist revolutionary. He exists in a civilized, wonderful, Christian-based society of decent, moral people. Therefore, a communist revolutionary in America has been free to commit revolutionary acts and do revolutionary things without ever having to suffer revolutionary consequences. They can just go, and what do they do? They'll walk into an art museum and glue their hands to a Van Gogh painting. In America, they will politely have their hand removed, maybe get a slap on the wrist, a year in jail. You pull something like that in Saudi Arabia, they'll pull out a chainsaw and chop your hand off and watch you bleed to death. Here in the United States of America, you can be a Black Lives Matter savage, burning down things, you can burn down a police precinct, you'll get corporate sponsorship. In ugly parts of the world, you pull that kind of crap, they'll hang you all from a crane and leave you dangling there for a week as your body rots. In the United States of America, our communist revolutionaries have gotten extremely comfortable because they can and do revolutionary acts without revolutionary consequences. And I thought about that as I listened to this judge. He's one of these anti-Trump judges. John Jones is his name. He sat down with 60 Minutes, surprise, surprise, and he was whining about Trump and the things Trump says. Here's what he said.
In very plain English, if we're not careful, we're going to get a judge killed. It's just that stark.
It's that serious.
It's that serious.
Judge John Jones is a retired federal judge from Pennsylvania, a George W. Bush appointee. He and 55 other retired judges were so concerned, they formed a bipartisan group to lobby the White House to stop demonizing judges.
This is such a toxic environment where people are taking arms and can identify where a judge lives, can strike out against that judge or the judge's family members.
I think judges should keep that in mind. I really mean that. I have said before that I'm obviously not celebrating it. Please don't ever hurt anybody, not a judge or anyone else. But I have said before, for instance, these judges who let the animals out of prison and then the animals go on to murder or rape somebody. It is not likely, it is inevitable that one of these animals is going to harm the daughter of a man who doesn't have anything to lose one day. And that man is going to track down the judge's address, and he's going to kill the judge who set him free. He is. And I know we have all these DEI savages and foreigners wearing judges' robes now in this country. And as I stated before, these judges have gotten so comfortable doing revolutionary acts without ever suffering revolutionary consequences. But here's the thing. You do enough revolutionary acts, you can actually create a society that now comes with revolutionary consequences. You judges, I know you're committed communists, trained communists. I know that because you're a trained communist, you believe that you can do anything without consequences while you sit on that judge's bench. And I'm here to tell you this. If you continue to attack the system that is holding up civilization, and you make enough of civilization crumble, you yourself are going to suffer uncivilized consequences. Keep turning the animals loose, and one day somebody may be looking at you and saying, "You a gangster now." Be very, very careful attacking the building blocks of a civilized society. To expand on this, I've actually had this conversation with feminists before. Of course, I'm not very popular in feminist circles, so I'm sure it fell on deaf ears. Yeah, I kid you not, Chris, but I've had this conversation with feminists before. You could be the most hardcore feminists in the world. I wouldn't recommend it, but you can be. You're welcome to be. But always keep in mind, in Western civilization, specifically the United States of America, you have no idea if you live here what it's like for women outside of Western civilization. How women are treated like cattle. And therefore, you can spend every minute of your time attacking the United States of America, attacking Western civilization. We need more women in charge and all this ridiculous crap. But I will warn you this. You are not going to enjoy it if you pick at that foundation and pick at that foundation and pick at that foundation for long enough that you actually get that foundation to crumble. Have you ever wondered why so many foreigners show up here and just start raping everything they can get their hands on? Oh, he's from Algiers. He's been raping women his whole life. He's from El Salvador. He's been raping women his whole life. He came from a culture where raping women is what you do. Do you understand that that's where so many barbarians on this planet come from? They had to give them classes in European nations teaching adult men that rape is wrong. But you keep picking, and you keep picking, and you keep picking. Maybe you're going to be a gangster now, too. Be real, real careful what you cheer for. The Mighty Jesse. I was listening to your show Friday. I wanted to say I totally agree about your assessment of the DMV. Just moved from New Jersey to Florida. Last time I was in the New Jersey DMV, it was a three-hour horror. I was in line when lunchtime started. The clerk put up a sign saying, be back in an hour. Fast forward to Florida. No appointments. Registration for two vehicles and two licenses, one for my wife and I. Pleasant, friendly, took 20 minutes. The person actually told me, have a nice day. Imagine that at the DMV. Definitely get out of your blue state. And he says, absolutely, say my name. His name is Steve. You think everyone around you is miserable and all of society's lazy and worthless and rude because you live in a blue area. Sorry. That's what communism spreads. Misery. Rudeness. Get out. Speaking of civilization, go to a red area. Enjoy Western civilization again. One more segment. Hang on.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Monday. You can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I'm sure those are going to be a real good time tomorrow. Also, I feel like there are some people who maybe need to hear something. An embassy, a United States embassy. You understand that that's considered to be sovereign U.S. territory. Okay. You also understand that U.S. embassies around the globe, they're guarded by United States Marines, specifically MSG, Marine Security Guards. Highly trained to guard an embassy, all right? Now, let me tell you something else, because something happened in Pakistan where they tried to invade a United States consulate. So here's something else. Many people, most people in their lives, will never stand on guard. You'll never guard something, guard duty of any kind. Most people will never have to experience this. But cops do. A lot of people, depending on your job, a lot of people in the military will do some sort of guard duty. I myself have had to do it many times. I was an infantry marine. That just comes with the territory. Do you know how mind-numbingly boring guard duty is? They have to put the most strict rules on what you can and can't do. You can't sit down. Obviously, you can't sleep. You can't, because 99.999% of the time, you are standing there for hours and nothing happens. You will become an expert at daydreaming because there's nothing else to do. Your entire life, nothing happens. And so, let's just say you're a young, highly trained United States Marine. You're trained for violence. Let me clue you in on something. When you are on guard duty, and I know this because I've had these same thoughts a million times, you want someone to try something. You just want something to happen. Hey, it would be great if I could bash in someone's face tonight. That would really make the night go by faster. I know this sounds dark, and I'm sorry, but this is how Marines think. And when you're on foreign soil, and you have all these monsters all around you, and I know because I've had these thoughts too, you think to yourself, man, I could really go for killing someone tonight. I hope somebody, I remember we were at this place in Najaf. We had this totally secure area in Najaf. It was like a farmer's market, but we had put up sandbags and fencing around it. And I was a non-commissioned officer, an NCO at the time. And so I didn't have to stand a lot of guard duty. That's usually for the younger Marines. But I was always out there having to check on my Marines and occasionally having to sit up there myself, or I wanted to sit with them. Someone gets sick, something like that. And I can tell you, I know it's dark. I don't care. I'm just giving it to you straight. I can tell you multiple times, more times than I can count, I'd be looking at our particular field of fire, because you have fields of fire. I was looking at ours and thinking to myself, oh gosh, I wish a couple guys with AK-47s would start running at us right now. I am so bored. It's 1 a.m. and I could really go for squeezing off a few shots. Marines who guard things are young and violent and full of testosterone. And probably more importantly than all those things, they're also bored to tears. So you really, really do not want to give them a reason to start shooting you free of consequences. And if you don't believe me, you could probably pop into Pakistan. I bet the airlines are giving away tickets at this point. But you see, in Pakistan, there's a U.S. consulate, of course, and a bunch of Pakistanis decided to attack the consulate. So they formed a mob with guns. You can see some of this. It's on camera. And they attacked the United States consulate. Let's fast forward through a couple things. They were not successful, and I will not be forwarding you the video of it, but if you are a morbid soul, you can actually look at video of people being carried out of the consulate, missing parts of their head. The Marines just started shooting people in the head because they can shoot people in the head very, very easily. And so I know you're really, really angry about God knows what. I understand that. Please know that the men guarding these things are United States Marines, and it's not that they're okay if you try to break in. They want you to. This would have been their Super Bowl. If you were one of the Marine security guards guarding the U.S. consulate in Pakistan, and none of them will admit this to you, so I'm just admitting it to you right now so they don't have to. If you're a United States Marine guarding the consulate in Pakistan, you have dreamt of the day where a bunch of savages try to kick in the gate so you can kill them. And Christmas morning came, right? That was to say, don't touch our consulates. Don't touch a United States embassy ever, or you're going to die, right? That brings me to this. You need to switch to Pure Talk. You see, the CEO of Pure Talk's, he's not a guy you should probably try to harm either. Being as how he was Mac V. Sog behind enemy lines in Vietnam, did one tour and promptly said, I think I'd like to do that again. Two tours. Why is Pure Talk so patriotic that they hire American citizens? Why do I get emails of people telling me, geez, I had two lines with AT&T and it was $200. Now two lines is $67. Why are they so patriotic? Because they fought for this country. Pure Talk, they don't fund street communism. They care about you. They care about America. They deliver incredible service. It's the same towers, by the way. You're not giving anything up. Pay less. Pay the company that shares and promotes your values. Pick up your phone, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly.
And now,
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
You can own a Japanese castle for $64,000, but there's a big catch, they say. And I still don't understand the catch. It needs some refurbishment, but $64,000 sounds amazing. And if I bought a Japanese castle, I would walk around with one of those Japanese robes on, Chris, and a Japanese sword at all times. And, you know, I might actually consider that Turkish hair surgery to get the Japanese haircut and maybe do what James Bond did in that one movie where he pretended to be Japanese, where he kind of taped his eyes to the side. So they looked, what, Chris? They looked more Asian. Anyway, Italy says evacuating hundreds of citizens from the UAE. Well, at least someone's winning out of this whole thing. This illegal alien from Sierra Leone was charged with rape while training to be a corrections officer. Well, the important thing is he was here legally, so he's just as American as you and me. Anyway, I'll see you tomorrow. That's all.